This is the Mind Your Business podcast.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Mind Your Business podcast. My name's Matt Williams. I'm joined, as always, by the fabulous Alan Clark. And this is episode one of 2023. This is our third year now, isn't it, of doing this? That's bonkers.
That's staggering.
Wow. Well, there we go. So we're as stunned as our audience that we've made it this far. We've got big plans for 2023, haven't we, Alan? It's going to be the year of our podcast, we reckon. And on that note, we've got a kind of a bit of a theme with our podcast today, haven't we? So what
well,
are we
reckon
about today,
that it's
Alan?
Still January, and people are still just about saying Happy New Year to people. I had it this morning, but people are starting to go split into two camps. You say Happy New Year now, or do you not? Has it gone, or is it still there? So in that sort of theme, we're going to talk about New Year resolutions for business.
What should be your business New Year's resolution? I like that. I also know I didn't say Happy New Year to you because it was my birthday yesterday, and I have a rule that after my birthday, it's not Happy New Year now. It's just, you know, January blues.
Happy birthday.
There we go. Okay, business resolution. I'm a bit like the Queen because I'm an accountant. January is bonkers for us. So I don't really recognise my birthday in January. And then I have like an unofficial birthday on the 1st of Feb or 3rd of Feb, I think it is this year. First Friday in February is the birthday that I actually recognise with friends and family and go and do something. But there you go. My team stitched me up massively and put me all over Instagram with pictures of me blowing out candles and stuff. So they enjoyed it. But there we go. Right. We digress already. We're only 2 minutes in. So do you have, I've got a starter for five then. If I was running a business, I do run a business, obviously. One of the things I think, a resolution that I think every business should be making at this time of year is to make sure that they're pricing their services the right way. So not necessarily raising their prices, although I think we've talked about that a lot on our podcast, and I think every business, given the world we're in, should be looking at raising prices if they need to, but more maintaining your margin and understanding what it is that you're selling and where you're making your margin. So of the products and services you sell, which ones do you make the money on? Which ones are loss leaders? Which ones do we need to cut out completely? Understand where we make our money, what our costs are for providing those specific products or services, and therefore making sure that we are charging the right amount for the right services so that we have a good option for our customers, you know, a bronze, medium and gold package where we want everyone really on the medium package, right? Because that's the one where we make all our margin. Understanding how all of those things interact so we get our customers buying the right products from us at the right price and we're making the right margin. You with me? And if you only do one resolution, if you do that one, it will 100% guarantee an increase to your bottom line in your business. There's no easier way
to tweak it. It's also one of the ones that people run a mile from. It's on the to-do list. And 12 months from now, it's on the to-do list. And we have allowed other things to get in the way. And a lot of the time, we are relieved other things get in the way. So this is one that if we can apply focus and courage to and see it through, we get huge amounts of benefit for. So I agree with you. I definitely would have that in the fore. And my plea is to keep it on the priority list that gets actioned before March.
Wow. And I'm right there with our listeners on this because I need to do this. And I've already said to you in a coaching session, well, I can't do that in January because we're too busy. So that's a February and a March job. But it doesn't, to some extent, doing it now, doing it February, doing it March is not a problem. It's doing it December next year or not doing it at all that is the problem, right? But yeah, focus on where do we make our money? What products and services make us the you know, it's likely using the Pareto principle, 80% of your services make 20% of your profit and the other way around, right? So find that 20% that is making you all that profit and focus on those and make sure that customers that aren't buying that have an easy pathway to start buying that and that you're managing your margin, and then you can't go wrong, right? So that's resolution number one.
Well, actually,
what would be your number one?
Listening to that, thinking mine was completely separate to that, but actually, in that last 30 seconds of your New Year resolution, that there is a link. So my New Year resolution would be really, really super determined to create the best customer experience ever. So to look at how your company is interacting with your customers and ramp it up, make it better than it's ever been. Because for me, there are just so many benefits for doing that. You will increase your business, you will increase your bottom line, it feels good. You're not relying on anything else. This is an internal input. As a company, we are deciding to increase that. And if we put this in place, we will have huge, huge benefits in terms of our business, our performance, and ultimately the bottom line. So that would be a New Year resolution that I would be definitely going for. And why I said it's linked to what you said was that by you looking at the pricing and maybe the 20% of your most valuable customers, that's a really great place to start in terms of, in our most valuable customers, are they receiving the best quality care? And if we go at that, then that's joined up to resolution number one, but makes complete sense that you're actually, if you're going to start anywhere in terms of improving your customer care, you're starting with your most valuable customers.
Yeah. And I love that your resolution, because people don't believe us when we say this, that we don't particularly plan these podcasts very well, right? We just rock up and talk about stuff. Yours follows on really nicely, and the third one I'm going to talk about in a second follows on really nicely from this one. But as a principle, right, if you can get the outcomes of your business that your most profitable customers are also your biggest customers in terms of spend, and are also the customers that get the biggest kind of benefit slash outcome from your services, so they're super happy and you're super happy, if you can live in that world, your business will do nothing but fly. Right. So if you can work out, like we said, resolution one, we'll work out your pricing and making the right margin on your most profitable jobs. If your most profitable jobs are then providing the best outcomes for your customers, and your customers love you because you provide, you don't have to be the most expensive, you can be the cheapest for what you do. That doesn't matter, does it? As long as you're making your margin. But if your outcome for your customer is astonishment in terms of how good it is, and you can combine that with it being those best customers, or most, the customers that value the most are the ones that are buying your best product in terms of margin and, you know, how you produce it and all of that, then it's win, 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 isn't it? There's no turning back at that point. You are, and it's not to say that you stop servicing all the other clients, is it? We're not saying that. We're just making sure that your best offering is also
spot on,
astonishing your clients in the right way. Is that where we are? That's what we're saying, isn't it? Right. So we've got number one, look at your pricing and your margin and where you make your money and making sure that your best customers are buying it. Number two, make sure that you are consistently astonishing your customers in terms of customer service and product outcomes and et cetera, et cetera. Number three, then, I think links into this. I think too many businesses are scared, or they're either scared to do this or they just don't have a system or forget to do this. And it's really important and really powerful. I don't think enough businesses are asking their customers for feedback and reviews. And the power, if you've got those customers that are buying the products and love what you do and rave about you, to not give them a platform to shout about that and tell everyone they know about that and build your credibility seems bonkers. But I speak to so many business owners that just routinely ignore this area of their business. I do it in mine. I only ever ask for Google reviews like in a big spurt at once when I realize I need to do it. Otherwise, we could be doing it consistently. Every time we deliver something, we should be sending a link saying, if you like what we've done, can you leave us a review? But we don't. So that would be my third one.
Just so effective. You know, it's again, it's another input in terms of asking regularly, getting into the habit of asking for reviews. Yes, you're relying on people to do it, but it's there. And what I love about this is, again, it's within our own circle of influence. If we can organize ourselves enough to get clarity on these four resolutions and do them, we're already making a huge positive impact on our business. And some people won't do the reviews, but the vast majority of people will. So again, it's something that we own. And if we can get that thought out of our minds, onto paper, communicated and then executed, we're well on our way. And it won't even be February before we started that one. So again, a really, really good one. And what I love about it is customer facing. It's a external impact one. It's, you know, you can either have constraint in your company within or without. In many ways, this is doing both. It's getting the culture of, hey, we ask our customers for feedback, and then it's actually our customers are giving us feedback that will inspire other customers to do business with us, because there will be really good reviews. And if they're not, then we've got some intelligence to act on.
Oh, 100%. It massively impacts, I think, the buying process. But the benefit that I found with it is almost always we send an email to a client saying, look, we've delivered this project and hopefully you felt it went really well and we'd love it if you'd send us a review and send them the link. Almost always, when they fill those out, they mention the team member that looked after them. And the team member has not necessarily been involved in that process of gathering the review. So the first they see of it is on Google, where it says, you know, Nuala was fantastic and she managed this product brilliantly. And, you know, she's the best thing since sliced bread. And whilst we all know that, for her, the individual seeing that, it's got to reinforce her kind of happiness within the team and the culture, right? And that's like a secondary benefit of it. But it's interesting. If you ask me if my customers are happy, I say, on the whole, my customers are happy. We have this conversation when you're coaching me, right? And we've got, I don't know, 300 clients now, and we've only got 35 Google reviews, and we've got all these happy customers that that if you don't ask them,
no,
people can be as happy as you. I've got lots of suppliers I'm really happy with, right? I'm happy with you as my coach. I haven't written you a Google review because you haven't asked me. And there's a lot, the world of spontaneous reviews is few and far between, really. You need to be out there and pushing it. And the other side of it is, if something's gone wrong, you need to be brave enough to also ask for that feedback and understand why it's gone wrong and then use it as an opportunity to learn and improve. But a lot of people, I've spoken to two or three people, I've said, you know, you should be smashing Google reviews. Everyone I speak to is really pleased about this. Says, oh no, but what happens if someone does this and we don't get the right review? And, you know, there's always going to be something that goes wrong with every business. That's just life. But you've got all that, things don't go wrong by accident. There's something that's happened that's led to something else, which led to the problem. The feedback is going to be a key part of understanding what's gone wrong and what you can do to prevent it happening again, right? Cool. Okay, that's three we've done. What have you got next?
As you know, I was inspired by the World Cup recently, and particularly Argentina. I must admit, I thought they played phenomenally well as a team and had some star talent within that team. So I'm going to talk about people. I think my New Year resolution number four was to look at the human talent, look at the people within your organization, and go again at people development. Help people to become even better at what they do for you and your company and the customers. Get clarity again on role clarifications. Are job profiles, role profiles, are they still relevant? What an opportunity to refresh them if they're actually a bit dated. And if they are relevant, do people actually understand what it is they've to do and why? And do they have the capability to actually do what you need them to do? And then from a structure point of view, are people organized in the most optimal way? Is the purpose flowing out of the executive suite right through the organization? You know, and I suspect for every single company, there's an opportunity to go again with this stuff. And taking the inspiration of Argentina in the World Cup, where it is possible to have a phenomenal team based on people knowing exactly what they're meant to do, being organized to do it, and feeling really inspired and motivated, and even a couple of star players thrown into the mix. So that's what I would say about number four, is go again for your people.
Yeah, I love that. And it's part of what I'm actively doing in my business at the moment. And I was going to say, when you started talking, before you mentioned Argentina, I was going to say that it's important, and we've talked about this before, right? You don't just want bums on seats. You need the right bums on the right seats. And everyone has you can turn a really good team member into a really poor team member, or vice versa, if you put them in the wrong role or don't play to their strengths. And also the strength of the team, the team is only as good as its weakest member, right? So if you can raise the level of the weakest team member, put them in a position to succeed, it will improve the entirety of the team. And then you started talking about the Argentinian football team, and I was reminded, and I don't think we've had this conversation, but did you know, Alan, that the Argentinian goalkeeper, who's now famous for his antics in the penalty shootout, do you know which team he played his first game in the UK for?
Are you going to say Oxford?
I'm going to say Oxford United. He came to us as an emergency loan at the end of a season a long time ago now, 6-7 years ago, and played one game for us as an 18 or 19-year-old. Like, he was literally a boy amongst men. He was tall and gangly, but otherwise very young. And we got battered away at Port Vale 3-0, and we never saw him again.
Wow.
And you look at that, and I would have told you that guy, he was on Arsenal's books at the time. I remember thinking, how on earth has that lad got a contract at Arsenal? He was awful.
No.
But we didn't put him in a position to succeed, right? We were a team fighting relegation, away at Port Vale, cold, wet, windy, horrible. He turned up. I think we signed him on the Friday evening, and he played for us on the Saturday, and then he went again on the Sunday. We didn't put him in the right position to succeed. And you look at him now, when he's in that right team, and he's got more experience, etc., but he's now in a team where it's set up for him to succeed, and look what he's doing. And that bears out that point, right? You've got to look at your team and make sure they're in the right role and that they're performing to the level that you need, but you can't put someone in a job that they're not suited for and then moan.
No, you can't. And I think this last one can just fall into the whole cliche space of people are our greatest asset and. But it is possible with determination and focus on top of the strategic priorities to turn a Scotland into an Argentina.
But it needs a bit of trust. So I employ a lot of staff. My business is my team. Without the people, my business doesn't work, but it doesn't exist, right? I was ill for an extended period of time before Christmas, and my team as a whole stood up, and I was basically out of the business for 4 weeks, and my team delivered every deadline they had to, and delivered two record months revenue wise back to back, to the point where I'm not sure I'm actually necessary in the business anymore. Now I am, thanks Alan, I wasn't pausing for that bit of affirmation, but I'll take it. But my point is that that was unplanned, right? We didn't plan for them to have to do that and run the business between them, and it's had an impact, right? Because everyone got very close to being burnt out, because they were effectively doing one and a bit jobs each, right? And they were already busy people. But what it showed me is, for the future, everyone shone in that team, some shone in different ways to others. And it gave me, through kind of them having to do it, there's no option but for them to step up. It showed me that some of them that may have told me before that they're not interested in that, or they're not capable of leading like they did, led very well and very effectively. Does that make sense? And I don't know how this plays into our resolution, other than to say that at some point with everyone, you're going to need to bite the bullet and let them fly, because otherwise they're just going to be. Yeah.
That is why you're one of the reasons, a big reasons why your business is performing so strongly and has done since its inception, was the fact that you wanted a team that was special, that was really passionate, really focused, and delivered client astonishment, customer astonishment. And you set that out to be the way it is, and every single hire that you brought in has been brought in with a definite type of attitude, skill set, and position. You've recruited them for a position, you know, not a position as in a bum on a seat, but a specific role within the company. So, you know, you get what you deserve, which I know I've said this before, but I one of my favorite boss in boots used to say that you get the team you deserve in 12 months, which is why it's a brilliant New Year resolution there. So if by the time we are talking in January 2024, it is possible for everyone to have the team they deserve. And, you know, have an Argentina representing the company. And that would be a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Right, I love that. Right, okay, we're cracking on time-wise. So let's just recap then. So we've talked about pricing and products. We've talked about, what was second? Client astonishment, customer care. Then we talked about reviews and feedback. And then we've just talked about team. So that's four really straightforward. I think they'll mean different things. Those resolutions will look different for every business owner, but if you follow those four themes, you are not going to be far wrong, you know, by the end of the year. You would have achieved something in that business. So why don't we talk, let's switch it on its head. I think every business owner should have a resolution this time of year when it's dark and cold and miserable to re-engage with why they're doing it. Why did they set this business up? What are they doing it for? What's their personal goals? What's this achieving? What does life look like as a, you know, what's a successful outcome outside of the business for the business owner? I've seen in the last, well, over Christmas, I've seen two businesses sold and three businesses have to talk to liquidators. What it made me think is that if you don't enjoy the journey and you're not getting the benefit from your business along the way, it's not good enough just to wait to the end, whether it's liquidated, whether it's sold, whether it, you know, just fades away. If you need to have something to show for it along the way. You can't rely on a big payoff at the end. You know, your family aren't going to be thanking you when you're, you know, you missed them as kids because you were building that business and then there's no payout at the end. And even with the payout at the end, that's not what interests family, is it? They want to see the parent or the uncle or whatever during the year. Do you see what I'm saying? I feel like I'm waffling a bit, but I'm trying to get my...
No, you're not. You're not. Keep going.
So, yeah. So I think it's important to take stock of what does success look like for me as the business owner and my life outside of the business, as well as looking at the business resolutions.
I think so. And I talk about a distinction more and more, and I'm applying this to myself, about our professional selves and our personal selves. And if you leave both of them alone, what tends to happen is the professional self dominates in terms of time and energy. And you can get quite commonly a scenario that you've just painted there. But it is entirely possible to have a rebalance in there. And I'm not just necessarily talking about work-life balance. It runs a lot deeper than that. That you can have an optimal professional life and an optimal personal life. And that takes some fresh thinking. It takes some determination. It takes some clarity. But you get to have a purpose for your professional life and follow through on that and create a company or an organization, customer experience, a financial performance, whatever that may be. And also you can create an optimal personal life and, you know, get into different goals, objectives, milestones that are out with your professional life, and both of which are incredibly valuable, but enrich your experience, your living experience. And actually, it's a symbiotic relationship. One gives one more energy, the other one gives one more financial resources. So, you know, that's another way to come at 2023. I nearly got the year wrong. I was about to say 2024. 2023, that you're more vitalized. There's more life in you as the owner, as the CEO, and that both your personal life and your professional life is performing even better. And that's something that's really, I am really, really mindful of that personally. And I certainly more and more talking about that with clients, and that's resonating at a pretty deep level.
Yeah, I think I find as an advisor, it's really easy to see the clients that have lost the focus on the personal aims. They're just on a... I was talking to a guy the other day, and he's beating himself up because they hadn't grown this year. It's the first year in 6 years mm-hmm. that their business hasn't grown. And he was really beating himself up about it. And I said, well, why didn't it grow? And he said, well, I stepped away from it for a bit. I spent the summer with the kids and I did all the summer holiday parenting I did so my wife could focus on her thing. And then, you know, we went away in half term and then I did this and I did that. And he did some like crazy European tour thing with his mates. And it was like, I said to him, it sounds like you've had a really productive year. Mm. You just haven't been focused on the business, but that's okay. The business is strong enough and successful enough that it can weather that. Don't, you know, you don't have to grow for growth's sake, do you? Mm-hmm. That's a fallacy, isn't it? That we've talked about this one. Mm-hmm. That, you know, if a business isn't growing, it's dying, is nonsense. And actually, I said to him, you've had a cracking year, like a really successful year, and you beating yourself up about it is a nonsense. And yeah, you can try and focus on growth in 2023 if that's the aim now, but I feel that's a real win, isn't it? I'd love to take the summer for my kids. Love to. That should be my resolution. I'm going to put out my bloody resolution now. You're gonna push. I know. As soon as I said that, I can see your eyes light up that you're going to be pushing me to do that now.
Fantastic.
Mrs. Williams would be all over that, I tell you. But that's the reality of it, right? If you don't make it happen, it won't happen. That is an absolute rule of life, right? The only person that can make it happen is yourself. So if you want it enough, you'll go and do it. But if you don't tell anyone, if you don't say these resolutions out loud, then there's no one to hold you accountable for them. They won't happen. So there we go. Right, we're half an hour in, Alan. I feel like we need to wrap it up. Have you got any final thoughts or recaps or anything that we've not covered?
We've covered the big themes. We've got into there about balance between the professional and personal selves, and that to me is massive. That it's huge, and I'd love everyone to explore that for themselves. And in terms of the four resolutions, four resolutions themselves, each and every one of them adds real value to your company. So, you know, go out. We are in a fresh year. There's lots and lots and lots to go for, lots of months ahead. You know, get clarity on your top four that would make a big, big difference. And look at balance of yourself again would be my plea on this call today.
100%. You've got to understand why you're doing it. It's hard work running a business. There's no, you know, it's harder work if you can't see a reason to do it. 100%. So, okay, well, look. I feel energized already. I'm going to go and write some resolutions myself. Enact once tax season's done, 1st of Feb. So on that note, if you like what you hear, feel free to drop us a review. We should probably ask for reviews, given that we've just had a whole resolution section about reviews. You can find us, as ever, wherever you get your podcasts. We will be back next week with more podcast gold. But for now, it's all from me and it's all from my friend Alan.
Goodbye.
This is the Mind Your Business podcast.